In the summer of 2023, Maine Public partnered with StoryCorps in a Military Voices initiative to capture the stories of Maine veterans who served in the armed forces. During the recording sessions, veterans shared details about their tours of duty and how their time in the military affected both their lives and those of their loved ones. This limited podcast series is dedicated to these Maine veterans and their families. We want to thank them for sharing moments of their lives with us. I'm Keith Shortall. Let's get started. Episode 7, Anchors Away. Did you know that the first American submarine was piloted in 1775? The vessel, which was designed by David Bushnell, was nicknamed the Turtle. It was piloted by Ezra Lee during the Revolutionary War. During World War II, submarines became mission critical in winning the war. German forces used submarines very effectively during the First World War, which caused the Allied forces to focus on developing higher-performing submarines in anticipation of future conflicts. It's in one of these technological advancements that we find our next Military Voices story, that of Quartermaster Stephen Simons, a World War II submarine veteran who joined the Navy at 18, ready for adventure and service to his country.
I am Laura Simons-Rumpf. I am 63 years old.
I am Stephen P., as in Paul, Simons. I'm 98. I'm chatting with my daughter, Laura.
Yeah, and we're talking about military history and other things that went along with that in your life.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
How old were you when you enlisted in World War II?
The minute I became 18, was able to volunteer for the U.S. Navy. I had hoped that I would qualify for flying the Naval Air Corps, and I'd already had practiced flying myself. I'd been soloed in a light plane and thought I was well prepared. But the Navy had all the people they needed at that point, so that was my first big disappointment as far as military was concerned.
Instead of flying, you ended up on a boat.
A submarine, in fact. Since I can't stand watching others fly, at least I could get submerged for a whole new and different and exciting kind of service in the Navy.
Where did you end up going on their submarine, which was called the Cayman?
Training. Yes, it was called Cayman, which is the fish name that all submarines use on christening. My first introduction to that was in training in New London, Connecticut Submarine School, then later assigned to a submarine that was active at that point in Adelaide. Not Adelaide, no, it was on the far Perth and the far western end of Australia. They were waiting for me. And I landed there first on a surface vessel, made it successfully across the Pacific into Australia, and then successfully across the Australian desert. Picked up my submarine Cayman in Perth, Australia.
Wow. I didn't realize that land part of it. Do you remember the terrain of Australia, crossing it?
Yeah, it was like a desert in a good part of it. Huh. Stopped the train on a single track and have lunch in the desert, get back on the train, and ended up in Perth.
So what were those first few months of deployment like once you got on the submarine?
Well, all a bit new and different, getting used to the idiosyncrasies of that particular submarine as opposed to the training submarine that I'd been on earlier, and getting used to the crew. I had the pleasant experience of being given a bunk in the forward torpedo room, and the bunks were cheek to jowl, very close to one another. My companion was my first close relationship with a black person. Oh, and I can remember his name, John Singleton.
Because you grew up in the mountains of New Hampshire and where there weren't a lot of people of color.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. So I was pleased to have had that experience. Mm. Actually, he had had a longer submarine experience, some of a very active encounter with an enemy submarine, Japanese sub, and being depth charged for a good time. And he that was not a pleasant experience. In fact, it took a toll on his psychology. He transferred to another submarine for that reason.
And depth charging is one bomb, do you call it, after another, one missile after another?
Yeah, one after the other. They're lined up on destroyers, and they'd be released one after the other to create a pattern that's bound to have an effect on the sub.
Yeah. But what, you also, there was a sister sub to the Cayman, right?
Oh.
The Bullhead?
Yes, there was a sister sub called the Bullhead. It had on among the crew men from Quincy, Mass. And a good friend, we were together in submarine school. I was sent to the Cayman, he was sent to the Bullhead. And the tragedy was that the Bullhead was sunk by the enemy dropping submersible bombs from the air. And that was just off Jakarta, Indonesia, and sunk. And so that's where my good friend, sub-school, ended up.
Yeah. And there were people from your hometown, your little hometown of Lisbon, New Hampshire, who also were lost in the war, right?
Yes. Same age, same small class of about 20 people graduated, all about the same age, as I say. And of those, at least two were close friends and died in the European operations. I was among those who invaded, crossed the channel to Europe on French soil.
How about, there were certainly tragedies. Do you have any sort of fond memories or kind of funny things that you remember from that time?
Unfortunately, there was too much opportunity for excitement on the submarine. It's all within arm's reach. But sometimes some unexpected things do happen, and the one that I think of mostly that has a bit of humor in it, although I didn't feel that way at the time, we were patrolling in the South China Seas. The communications gang notified members of the crew to get ready for a quick dive because planes were identified in the distance. And so everybody made a big, quick dash to get down, submerge at a safe depth to avoid possible bombing. I was the designated last one down, and I am holding the, trying to think of the name of the handle that one...
Like a hatch.
The hatchway, yes. I'm the last one down with the cable in my hand. That got shut, and I kind of jumped for the last two or three rungs on the ladder and landed on the skipper's toes. He let out an expression of some kind, which followed by apologies from myself and his comment, "No problem." And we submerged to a safe depth.
Well, that's good. And so that was towards the end of the war, right?
Yes. So as a matter of fact, it ended while we were on patrol. And the instructions to the fleet, all vessels, to rendezvous in the Philippines, in Manila Bay. The submarine I was on and others got together as a group and sailed back to San Diego via Pearl Harbor.
So you've had a very fulfilling life, and you provided one for your four kids, including me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you want to say?
I'm thinking. It's been fulfilling. It's been interesting. there's enough diversity in my interests and the organizations I was part of make it fulfilling.
And now you've got a very filled family.
Yes.
With
and dragging my family with me, yes.
But now you've got 9 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you for answering my questions and reminding me about how great your life has been. And thank you for making my life a really great one.
Well, thank you for making my life as complete as it possibly could be with such wonderful children that I have, all 4, Scott, Mark, Laura, and Jane. Probably the most fulfilling years of my life. So thank you.
Love you.
Quartermaster Stephen Simons comes from what's been coined the greatest generation. His story is about the power of relationships, friends, and family that inspired him and guided him in his time of service and beyond. In the next episode of Military Voices of Maine, we'll meet Lance Corporal Patricia Larrabee, a Marine Corps veteran with a decided spirit for adventure. We'll laugh along with Pat and her best friend as they travel across the country on a 1950s road trip and hear about their return to Maine, which includes an adopted cat traveling first class on a train. We'll also hear about Pat's time in the Marine Corps and what that service meant to her throughout her life. Military Voices of Maine is brought to you by a partnership with Maine Public and StoryCorps, as well as the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This podcast series was made possible through the generous support of Lee Auto Malls, Wreaths Across America, and FedCap Maine. The series was produced by Allison New and Keith Shortall. That's me. You can listen to this podcast and others like it on our website, mainepublic.org, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.